the now body, the now body of Christ, he would always, it was a test of finance. It was a disconnect in finance when God would actually test the body of believers, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament. There was a test. Will you be able to really sever yourself from the unrighteous mammon, or are you going to hold fast to it prior to receiving the true riches, the outpouring of God's anointing? And this has come up in the series on God's peace, on the peace, when we joined ourselves to God. Now there's a corporate joining, but within the corporate joining, there is a test of sowing and Amen. Giving the way that God would have us to give. So tonight's case studies are based around that. It can be a corporate setting or a personal setting to where one person was tested, but the results were the same.
Amen.
And so tonight we open up with Evangelist Darrell. And Evangelist, do your thing.
Amen. All right,
we're trying to hold. We got three tests or three case studies, so we're trying to hold it within about 20 minutes apiece. So we reveal it. We hand it over to you now, Evangelist. Do your thing.
Amen. Well, Amen. God bless. Thank you, Apostle, and all of everybody that's here, the ministers, elders. Thank you for this time. To get right to it, we're going to just start off where. Don't bow them. This is the title. Thank you, Elder Allie. You are amazing. Mm-hmm. The money test. Don't bow to the music. And our main scripture here is coming out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, where it reads, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." We learned that the word hold there means to adhere to, you know, to, we learned that money had a voice. And this is so fitting that money has a voice, that we listen to what money, they say money talks in society. And it sure does. And we're going to learn tonight how we don't need to bow down to it. They either hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And we learned that the key word of mammon was confidence, having a confidence in wealth, a confidence in money rather than God. So we're going to go directly from here over to Daniel, and I'm going to read Daniel chapter 3. We're gonna go through that a bit so that we can see this in operation. Daniel chapter 3, to give a quick backdrop, this is about King Nebuchadnezzar, a man of the Babylonian province, kingdom. He was a king, and his major talent or skill was he was a mighty man in battle, was very skillful in battle, and so much so that he took over many different lands and gained a lot of power and wealth. He was a wealthy king. He was a powerful king, to the point that he felt untouchable, literally. And Daniel, when King Nebuchadnezzar, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar went into their land and went into the city of Jerusalem and seized it and took some of the vessels of the house of God and put it into his treasure, the treasury of the house of his God. That's found in Daniel chapter 1. So he was always collecting more and more from any place he went into. He took wealth. But not only this time did he take the wealth, he took captive some of the children of Israel. And out of those children, he wanted certain ones to come into his palace, and who were wise and without blemish, and were just able to teach them of the ways of the Chaldeans. This really, really sparked me to understand that he wanted them not only to give them, he not only wanted to use them for their wisdom, but he also wanted to teach them in the ways of the Babylonian system. This is very, very important because, as I said, he was a wealthy man. He was a man that was renowned and powerful and really used his wealth in a way to, we'll find out, to try to establish a mindset. I'm going to go right from here into reading a few chapters, verses, and then I want to show you a verse out of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 11. So we're going to read down, I think, here for just a few verses here. We'll probably stop right at verse number 7. Okay. So verse 1 says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits. That's actually close to 90 feet. Three score represents 20. So 20 scores or three times would be 60 cubits or 90 feet. And I love that it says 60. And the breadth, look at what the breadth of it was 6 cubits. We know this, the number 6 represents man. Man. But this was not going to be representing man with God indwelling them. This was man in self. Was this motive operandum, if you will. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Verse 2, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set, which the king had set up. Very important. The king had set this up. Verse number 3. Then it says in verse 3 that the princes, governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had what? Had set up. They stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Notice how that's repeating itself. Because Daniel chapter 2, verse 37 talks about how Daniel acknowledged how God had made King Nebuchadnezzar wealthy and empowered him and given him strength. But here it is, Nebuchadnezzar, who doesn't acknowledge or know the God of Israel, it's saying that he set this all up. Wow. This was not an ordained thing from God for him to do. Now, I want to tell you before I read on that this image, which was very large in stature and had a width about it that was very wide as well, was made probably in this times as I did the study on it, was made out of wood and overlaid with gold. It wasn't solid gold, which is very important because when we think about how God commanded Moses to make the vessels of the tabernacle, it has the same type of structure and was built the same way. They used wood and overlaid with gold, but God had instructed that.
Yes.
It was very symbolic of how, and I'll show you in another scripture in a moment, how this would be symbolic of flesh, the flesh of man, and how when God's telling someone to do something and moving, which the gold would represent, because we're going to see how it would be tried. Your works are tried, whether they be of silver, gold, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. We'll see that in a minute. Verse 4, it says, then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commended, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound, that word sound there actually means, listen, Apostle Todd, it means voice.
Wow.
That word in the Hebrew is voice. It says the time that at what time you hear the voice of the cornet, lute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the golden image that who? Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Remember, I told you that this was a man who had great wealth and great power, and he used his wealth to influence even what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to watch this. Remember, I said that he had brought the children of Israel to held them captive. His design was to get the wise into his palace to use their wisdom, but to also train them in the way of the Chaldeans.
Mm-hmm.
This was a system, and notice he got all the governors, he got all the sheriffs, counselors, he got the prominent people to come underneath his image.
Everybody.
Verse number 6. Then it says in verse number 6, and whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound or the voice of the cornet, flute, harp, sagput, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Jesus. Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
So I want to, while we're thinking about Nebuchadnezzar and his wealth and his thought and image of himself, which is what's really being represented in this golden image, turn mm-hmm. to Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 11. Let's look at what that says before we read the rest of that. Proverbs 18 and 11. Proverbs 8 and 11. I'm sorry, I said 18, but it's 8 and 11. Thank you, Elder.
Sure.
It says, no, it should be 18 and 11, actually. If I said 8 and I did, I'm sorry, I texted you the wrong scripture. Okay. So sorry. So Proverbs 18 and 11, I don't know if we can get that up real quick.
Let's see.
Is that a possibility? Sorry for the delay, but this is so important to interject this.
Okay. Come on.
I'm sorry, I sent the wrong scripture.
No worries. That one was good.
King Nebuchadnezzar was a man who saw himself as untouchable because of his wealth.
All set.
Okay.
Amen.
Watch what this says. It says the rich man's wealth is his strong city,
Yeah.
And as an high wall in his own conceit, mm-hmm. that word conceit actually translates image.
Yes.
In his own image.
Yes.
Wow. So what is he doing when he's presenting everybody with this golden image? He's wanting everybody to have his mind. Wow. He's wanting everybody to see money the same way he sees it. He's inviting everybody to bow down and worship the way that he sees himself. A high wall in his own image.
Wow, Lord God. Strong city.
He wanted everybody to worship the God that he became in himself, in his own right.
Wow.
And he invited everybody to do it. And if you did not, there was a consequence.
Mm-mm-mm.
If you did not bow down and worship the way, again, he wanted to train the children of Israel who served the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's asking them now, don't put your confidence in God. Put your confidence in what I put my confidence in. My confidence is in my money. My confidence is in my power. Look at how Jesus. I possess all of these things.
Wow. Jesus. Wow, wow, wow.
So when he invites him and the sound and the voice of the music is going, what he's actually doing is he's telling everyone that money is your answer. So when you bow down to it, the consequences that you face, money can be your answer. As long as you worship the money, the power.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Wow. Jesus.
Going back now. Now we're going to look at really quickly. What I want to do really quickly, we're going to look at proof that this, as it said, King Nebuchadnezzar set this thing up. It was made of wood and overlaid with gold. Go to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 14. So we can see that when God is endorsing something, there is a reward. But when man is doing it, 60 cubits. Six cubits high, six cubits wide, the number of man, self, doing it in self, is what we see that this image was made of. It says, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
Wow.
Do we have?
Amen, God.
You see that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
His works are tried. So gold, silver, and precious stones usually represent somebody who's doing the work that Rhema has instructed him to do.
Yes, amen.
Wood, hay, and stubble are those that are consumed in a fire because they are man's own efforts. Man doing this without God.
Wow.
And so when he makes it out of wood, the wood represents his doing it on his own. The gold represents how he sees himself in his wealth. He sees himself a rich man's wealth is his strong city and as an high wall in his own image. So he makes an image after himself. He tells everybody that you're to bow down to the way that I see wealth and how it can save you, how it keeps you, how it makes you strong and makes you powerful. It sets up a fortified wall that nobody can penetrate.
Jesus.
This is what we do when we don't want to bring to God, when we're commanded by God to give.
Jesus.
Going back to Daniel chapter 3 now. Let's read real quickly. I'm going to try to hurry up. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to hurry up here. Let's look at the heroes real quick in verses 8 through 16. It says, watch this. Wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound or the voice of the cornet, flute, harp, sagput, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship your image. I'm going to change that from golden to your image, how you see it. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael and Azariah, That's their Hebrew name. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up, your own work. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded him to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Now watch what he has the gall to say. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, it is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of voice of the cornet, flute, harp, sagbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall and worship the image which I have made, and you'll be well with you. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God, capital G, that shall deliver you out of my hands? There's that high wall. There's the high wall in his own conceit. He's saying the God of Israel can't even deliver you out of my hands.
We shall see.
And he's trying to provoke them to surrender through this threat, through the consequence. He's trying to provoke them to surrender to the image which he has set up. Have you ever been in a situation? We've been in situations where money is tight and the stature of the consequence looks greater than God.
Talk about it. Talk about it.
The situation looks like it's so big. That's why the stature of this image was so big and the consequence following it.
Jesus.
Because it was meant to make sure you could not see your God. And now he's trying to present it that same way by saying, who is the God that can deliver you out of my hand? This is his arrogance. This is his gall, his conceit.
Yep.
Who was able to deliver you out of my hands? Then watch this. Watch how they came. They said this next thing as one, people of God. They were one. It says Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. They answered as one.
Hallelujah.
And said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we, one, will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. This is not a God thing, and we know it. God didn't ordain us to bow down and worship any other gods, but the God of Israel, the God who delivers, the God who saves, the God who will bring us out.
Hallelujah.
True foundation.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
We will not surrender to your Hallelujah, mindset. Lord. We will not Hallelujah, give in Jesus. To thinking that money is the Hallelujah, answer God. For us.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Nor the consequences, even if we don't make it, even if we don't get saved by our God, we won't worry of the consequence. Because guess what? If you kill us, we're with our God. If we survive, it's because of our God.
Amen, Lord God.
Wow. Wow. Good. Very good.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We know the rest of the story. They're taken by, now watch this. There are men, mighty men. The Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar told his mightiest men to bind up the three boys, to bring them towards the heated seven times hotter fiery furnace. They had to have bowed down. They were a part of hearing the music. They had to bow down, but the Bible says because the furnace was turned up so hot that as they drew near, those men were killed, slain.
Yes,
but
sir.
The consequence, watch this, glory to God. the consequence as the boys were put in, couldn't even touch them. We're so worried about the consequence when God is saying, don't you worry about the consequence. Once you've honored me, once you've worshiped me with your giving, the consequence is up to me now. And I am a strong deliverer. My name is Jehovah Sabaoth, and I will deliver you out of your trouble. Hallelujah. You don't need to worry of your consequence. Hallelujah.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Your consequence won't even touch you. It won't even touch you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God.
So, but we're so worried about what how big the problem and the consequence of, we're bowing to the music. Jesus. We're listening. We're taking back and we're saying, God, I can't give you this because I need to pay this bill or I need to do that. And money has become the image that we trust in, that we have confidence in.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Woo-wee!
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes, and that's why, because we live in a government just like it was. They were government officials, all kinds of people who were in agreement with the king.
Yeah.
And they enforced the rules. They enforced what the consequences would be, but not to the men of God. When they came into the agreement, they got in that fire, and we learned that even King Nebuchadnezzar said, wait a minute, wait a minute. Weren't there three men? He turned to his people and said, weren't there three?
Jesus.
Now you talk about the apostle in your description of Luke 16, 11. When you said, if you can't be trusted with the unrighteous men, then who will commit to your trust the true?
True.
Watch this. When they decided they were not going to bow down, the true showed up himself.
Yes,
he entered into that fire with them. He said, Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we put three? But I see one that looks like the Son of God.
Woo, man. Come on.
The true showed up.
Always does.
And then I asked God, and then I'm done. I asked God, and I said, what was the offering? He said, Daryl, that offering was themselves. They gave themselves. He said that was the greatest offering. He said money wasn't even an up. He said they gave themselves. They were the offering.
Hallelujah, God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord. They gave a pure worship. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And God says, don't any of us bow to the music. Don't you worry about the circumstance. Don't you worry about the consequence.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I will save you. Hallelujah. I am your salvation. Your money is not your salvation.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I am your salvation.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.
Don't you bow to the music, no matter how it sounds. It has a voice, and it's telling you you won't survive. It's telling you you won't be able to make it. It's telling you that you need to spend your money on this, that, and keep this. Don't you dare listen. You listen to Rhema.
Hallelujah.
Come on, evangelist. Come on now.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless you, God.
Glory be to God.
Don't you dare trade out for your God.
Yes, God.
You can't trade out money and the confidence in mammon for your God.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you, God. Bless you. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
My God in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
My God in heaven.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You are our strength, Lord Jesus. You are our strength, Lord. We need no other. We need no other.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, some trust in horses and others in chariots.
We will trust.
We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Let me tell you something. If this doesn't describe that right there,
Jesus.
This is that perfectly described.
Yes, sir.
That we do not have to bow down to the music. We don't have to bow down to what we feel or what the world has made us feel finances are over God.
Amen. Amen.
But
amen.
When God is calling us to worship, when the mind of the Spirit called them to worship in the book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
by selling everything, and that nobody,
Jesus,
and I mean nobody, regarded anything that they had was their own.
Bless God.
And I truly believe today in our time, mm-hmm. God has revealed to us giving first fruit and tithe.
Amen.
And to us the worship of first fruit and tithe.
Hallelujah.
He's calling us to come out and bowing down to the music that we hear. That if I give this, I won't be able to do that. If I do this, I won't be able to survive. No, God is saying, listen, I am your confidence.
Yes, he is.
Yes, a scripture has been coming to my mind for the last week and a half. It says, cast away not thy confidence. For if you don't, it carries great recompense of reward.
Yes, sir.
When we give our confidence, who is God, away, we lose the reward that is supposed
Amen.
To be there. We can't
Amen.
Afford this.
Amen. Amen. Jesus.
Amen.
Evangelist, that was tight, right, man. Tight,
Amen.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Bless I remember when you spoke this word some time ago, and you were texting me and you let me know, you're like, Apostle, this is the word that God is telling me I need to bring. Mm-hmm. Man, the end of that message to where God said, you were the offering.
Jesus.
Oh God, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
What greater offering?
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
What greater offering would there have been for them to give themselves over?
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
There's not a tithe, there's not a first fruit.
Jesus.
What greater offering could there have been? And
Hallelujah.
For God to reveal himself in the fire with them when they said, okay, you know what? We'll go ahead, we'll go with it.
Jesus.
And he said, okay, and I'll be right there with you. You won't smell like the smoke. You won't smell like the fire. You won't be burned. You won't be touched by this. I will be your confidence.
Yes. Yes.
Man, that was so good.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God.
Oh,
Amen,
God.
Lord God. God. Amen, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are that, Lord.
Hallelujah. Come on, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Come on, we're going to get one more case study in. I know. Time is short, but Elder Allison, I'm going to call you to the forefront.
Okay.
I'm going to call you to the forefront, and I want you to share on what God has given you. You gave me just a morsel in comparison to what the Lord has revealed. And I love the case studies, because the case studies don't just say, hey, this is Apostle Todd saying this. But the case studies come with the people, good God Almighty, that are in agreement. And they find the truth about the subject that we're on. And we're talking about the outpour that comes as a result of financial giving. When God causes a man or men, women, a company to give in the same light, how he does what he does. when he tries us with this unrighteous mammon, there's an outpour at the end of it. Elder Allison, come on and tell us what you got.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I'm breath here from Evangelist Darrell's case study, but I'll do my best to get through.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh. When I lose my breath, that means so much of him was just filled in me.
Amen.
I often lose my own breath.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But the title of my case study on tonight is An Outpour of Their Rebellion Wiped Away. I know the title sounds kind of strange, but in the end, when we finish it all makes sense. In this case study, we're going to look at two individuals, and we will see both of their opinions towards giving. We will see both the test and the outpour within the context, but we're going to see it inadvertently. And that means we're going to see both the test and the outpour, but we got to read between the lines. And the two individuals we will look at tonight are Mary and Judas. If you'll go with me to John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8.
Oh, Jesus.
Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment.
Bless God.
First, we're going to take a look at this verse on Mary. We see here, Mary takes a pound of ointment of spikenard. What stuck out to me here was the amount of ointment that she offered and used. If you think about it, if you're anointing just feet, you don't need a pound to do it. But this was her offering. We then see emphasized in the verse that the ointment is very costly. Next, we see she anoints the feet of Jesus. And we can compare the feet being anointed to the references in the book of Acts where the price was laid at the apostles' feet. Now, remember what we're doing here. To see the test and the outpour, we need to read between the lines. Another thing to note is after anointing the feet of Jesus, Mary wipes his feet with her hair. We then see that the house was filled with the odor of the ointment, and that means sweet savor. We see all this in one verse. So let's hold all these points in our minds and look at what happens next. Verse number 4. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had a bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's read between the lines of Judas. We first see mentioned, then said one of his disciples. We all know Judas was a disciple, but this verse specifically notates he was a disciple which should betray him.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we see him question, why the ointment wasn't sold for 300 pence and given to the poor.
Wow, Lord God.
What stuck out to me here was the fact that he knew right away that it was a pound of ointment. And he knew right away the amount of money it could have been sold for. Why was it that Judas, a disciple, was so fixated on what was at Jesus' feet, opposed to what was taking place at his feet? No part of Judas saw what was taking place. Therefore, Judas would not pass the test.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his reaction, we can plainly see his wow. opinion concerning giving.
Jesus.
Now remember, we're reading between the lines. Next, we read, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. This verse plainly exposes that his words nowhere near matched his heart. He didn't care for the poor, but he wanted that money in the bag. We see where his mindset was, where his focus was, where his confidence really was.
Yes, yes.
Then says Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Now let's piece it all together. We see Mary's opinion towards giving here. Not only did she offer something that was very costly, but the very measure that she poured out, an entire pound was used to anoint Jesus' feet. By this, we can see she passed the mammon test. We saw that Mary anointed his feet. The word feet here means of disciples listening to their teacher's instruction are said to be at his feet.
Oh.
That's a literal meaning for feet. Of disciples listening to their teacher's instruction are said to be at his feet. So Mary, we see, was listening.
Oh, yes.
There was an instruction given unto her, and it was unto the day of his burying. Mary, because of what she heard,
hallelujah,
was at his feet with instruction. Judas, being a disciple, should my. Also have
yes, yes, instruction. Amen.
But because he was a thief, because he had the bag, because he bare what was put in the bag, the voice of the bag, the voice of mammon,
yeah,
became what he listened to.
Yes.
So instead of seeing with the eyes of the spirit as a disciple, instead of seeing with the eyes of the spirit as a disciple should have, his eyes instead became fixated on that pound of ointment. And that pound of ointment spoke. The only voice he could hear was the voice of the cost of that ointment. And he wanted it in the bag.
Yeah.
But in the midst of these two opinions, at this supper, the Father had a plan. Here comes the evidence of the outpour.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We learned on Sunday that when they laid their money down, they were also laying their supply down. That supply being their anointing. When Mary laid down her offering unto the Lord, the anointing that was released is found in her name. The name Mary means their rebellion.
Well,
now you might say, why would Mary be instructed to anoint the feet of Jesus with the anointing of their rebellion? Why would the Father want rebellion to be smeared all over the feet of his Son? Well, the Father knew that at this very supper, there would be one that would rebel. There would be one that should betray
Jesus.
You see, as Mary was anointing the feet of Jesus with their rebellion, it became a protective unto him. The ointment was the Father outpouring unto Jesus, and it was alerting him, you're about to be betrayed.
Jesus.
Judas, your disciple, is about to rebel.
That's good. That's good.
Wow.
Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
But because I'm smearing it all over your feet, I'm letting you know what's about to take place. And because you know, it's protecting you, it's shielding you, it's covering you.
Jesus.
As the ointment was spread across his feet, he was hearing from his Father. He was being shielded by the Father. And as he smelled the odor of the ointment, it was an outpour of a sweet savor.
Wow.
The betrayal became purpose filled.
Jesus.
But the outpour didn't even stop there. The Father now instructed Mary to wipe his feet with her hair. The word wiped means to wipe off or to wipe away. So after Jesus was alerted of this rebellion, and it was all over his feet, Mary began to wipe off the rebellion.
Oh.
She began to wipe it away with her hair.
Wow. Wow.
The Father's outpour to wipe away their rebellion from off of his feet would wipe away the betrayal of Judas. And as a result, Jesus would feel no hurt.
Jesus.
Neither would he be stung by the betrayal of his
God. My God.
He may say
no sting.
Jesus, hallelujah, God.
And in closing, Mary obviously passed the mammon test.
Jesus.
Her offering, her anointing was both an outpour of a protective barrier, alerting Jesus of the betrayal of Judas.
Jesus.
And because of her openness, because of her hearing, she was also able to outpour and wipe away this rebellion.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, as a result of her offering, was covered. He was protected from hurt and thereby strengthened to go forward and lay down his life.
Hallelujah, God.
Hence his statement, let her alone.
Oh.
The day of my bearing has she kept this. So an outpour of their rebellion was wiped away. That is my case study for you on tonight.
Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah.
My God.
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Hallelujah,
thank you,
Lord. My God. Oh, you, God.
We heard two case studies that are absolutely phenomenal.
Jesus.
To the proof of the fact that when we're tested with the unrighteous mammon and we lay down that confidence, there'll be an outpour of God's Spirit.
Amen, Lord.
And these are two very unique studies tonight.
Yes,
very
sir.
Unique studies.
Yes,
that
sir.
Show forth such an outpouring that if you don't have the mind of the Spirit, you're not going to hear this.
Yeah, I'm so cool.
These studies are spiritually discerned.
Jesus.
And if you're caught up in wanting to hold the unrighteous mammon, you're wanting to hold your money, you're not hearing this. This doesn't mean anything to you. But I pray to God tonight that it broke some of you to really being able to come into a place of releasing your worship unto God, releasing your worship unto him to where the money doesn't matter. You're not bowing down to this. I pray that this broke you. I've been broken, and I'm glad to be broken. I'm glad that this world system will not hold me, will not sway me, will not speak to me. I'm glad to where I am. And I hope that these studies tonight broke you in the same way.
Yes.
It makes no sense that we give the all-powerful, all-knowing God second place to money.
Amen, Lord. No way.
Yes.
Amen, God.
Don't bow down to the music.
Bless God. Bless God.
Don't be in a place of rebellion. Let it be wiped away like it was.
Yes.
Let it be wiped away like it was.
Hallelujah.
I've never seen the two come together between Judas and Mary.
Mm-mm.
I've never seen it like that.
Amen.
But truth. I thank God for the hearing ear of Elder Allison.
Yes.
Amen.
And I thank God for the hearing ear of Evangelist Darrell.
Bless God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Now, Mom, you know what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to stretch you to Sunday. You're going to do your case study, and then I got another case study I'm going to do.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
And if it doesn't bring a knockout blow, God help the rest, you know?
Amen. Bless God.
But please, people of God, please don't rob God anymore of the worship. I'm not talking about the money.
That's it.
You think he's talking about the money? Then you smoking crack. He's not talking. he's not talking about the money. He's saying, don't rob me of the worship.
Bless God.
Don't rob me of the worship.
Bless God. Amen, Lord.
Because my case study is with this man named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It was changed from deceiver to Israel.
Yeah.
The Bible says after Jacob wrestled with the angels, he gave him a tenth of all he had. And his name was changed. God has a surname for you. The surname will change what your name was in the world to who you really are in him. When God did it with Joseph, his name was Joseph, but it was surnamed Barnabas, son of consolation. There is a surname for you. And this is just an Easter egg for my case study. There's a name for you that God has. And that name speaks to absolute kingdom prosperity. And when you're able to wipe out way and you're able to lay down the unrighteous mammon, is a surname God is going to change your name to.
Bless God.
To who you really are in him. And so please don't let finances dictate who you are and the wealth that you have. Awesome studies. My God, these were
amen,
awesome.
God.
These were awesome studies. My goodness gracious.
Bless you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Woo, all right. I love it. I love it. I love it. There's a couple of comments here tonight. Let me see if I can look at them and read them. There's a few comments here. There's a comment from Elder Allison when Darrell was speaking, when the evangelist was speaking. They were of a true foundation. Amen. Jay steps in and says, amen. And then Carolyn steps in and says, this is real good. And I agree with you, Carolyn. And then we get another reply from, I don't know.
That's Rahul.
Rahul. That's okay. Rahul. Yeah. He said, amen. Sorry, I have to jump off. Good word. But he heard what he heard. And then Jay says, this is really good. And then Elder Donna says, awesome, awesome. Both studies. And I say, amen. They were just amazing studies tonight.
Amen, God.
And I would like to have this posted, Elder Allison, if you will, please. Post it like it was me speaking, please. Post it on the podcast and please post it on Facebook. Very pleased with the studies tonight, you guys. I love you both.
Amen.
Love you.
If you don't want to bow down to the music, you might have a tithe that you want to give. Don't bow down to it. If you want to break rebellion, then honor God the way that he has taught you. And go ahead and just show the enemy, you're not my confidence. God is.
Oh,
I love doing it. I love